Joe and I, we were best of friends growing up. We shared Sunday school teachers. We played on lots of teams together. We got into a lot of trouble together. He knows stuff about me that not even my wife knows, so. yeah, Joe, I'm glad you're leaving. So we had an uncle who was a very good Bible teacher, and he died in his 50s, I think it was, somewhere in his 50s. And he used to start his messages by quoting a couple of verses. And he quoted Hebrews 4:12, and it's a very good verse as you study the Word of God. It goes like this: "For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even between the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrows, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." We are Wilmington Bible Chapel. We come to study the Word of God, the Bible. And it's powerful and it's living, like that verse that he used to quote. And then he would quote another verse. He would quote 2 Timothy 2:15. It says like this: "Study and show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And that's what we ought to be doing, right? As we've studied through the book of Romans, I've tried to preach one message out of each chapter. And the truth is, it is so full that you could preach multiple sermons out of each one of the chapters. But I've tried to go, and we've gotten here to Romans chapter 5. So we haven't gotten that far. We got another, I think, 16 to go. But it's a great letter. It was close to the heart of Paul. He wrote this for us to understand what salvation is about. And I didn't know this as I was studying this time. The book of Acts, the book prior to where Romans is chronologically in our Bible, it ends with Paul's ministry in Rome, which is quite neat. It ends with Paul's ministry in Rome, and then chronologically we have the book of Romans. But this is what Paul, turn to Acts 28, actually, and we'll just read a few verses out of Acts 28, verse 28 as well. It says like this: Paul is saying this. He's in Rome at the time. And he says these words: Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. That's what Romans about, right? The salvation of God. But he says it's been sent to the Gentiles. And I like what it says next: and they will hear it. They will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute amongst themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So, like I said, interestingly enough, the book of Romans, which we're studying, is placed right after the book of Acts, and the Acts ends with Paul there in Rome. Up until now, in chapter 5, Paul has made it clear, and I don't plan to go on what we've studied before, but up until now, Paul has made it clear that all men are under the wrath of God for their sin. We saw that, right? And that all men are sinners. That very famous verse, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Paul makes that clear to them. All men have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. It's not something that the only way to be delivered from the wrath of God is by faith in Christ Jesus alone. He makes that clear in the book so far. He tells us it's not something that can be earned. It's not something that we can gain by merit or ceremony. It comes by grace through faith in Christ alone. He's made that clear so far up to chapter 5. the whole message of salvation, the whole message of salvation by grace and faith is then illustrated to us, and we saw that in chapter 4, through the life of that man, Abraham. And we saw that Abraham was justified by faith, not by works. We saw that Abraham was justified by grace, not by the law. We saw that Abraham was justified by divine power. Even though he tried, even though he wanted to, it was not done by human effort. So, man has been justified. It is by faith alone. So in our chapter, go back to 5. In our chapter, Paul starts with these words, therefore, being justified by faith. That is how man is justified. It's by faith. Right, Bill? It is by faith. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. We sang a lot about it this morning. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Our justification, it's not simply a guarantee that we are going to be saved and be taken into heaven. Part of being justified, and we're going to see this in the chapter now, is that there are many blessings that are attached to being a Christian, even while we live here on this earth. And that's what we're going to look at today. And in the section that we're going to look at, we're going to see 7 things which are a blessing of those who are justified, those who are believers. We're going to see, and I'm going to read through them, and then we're going to read the passage. We're going to see that one of the things that we enjoy as a blessing is that we have peace with God. Another thing that we enjoy is that we have access to God. Another thing that we enjoy is that we have a glorious hope to look forward to. This is to the believer. Looking around, I don't see nobody that I don't know. So these are blessings that you have in Christ. Another thing that Paul writes to them is a blessing is that you get this Christian character that is put upon you. And we'll look at that more in detail. Another thing that we is a blessing of the believer, and we talked about this morning in the Lord's Supper, is that God's love is within you. Another blessing is that we are saved from the wrath to come. And the last blessing that we'll see is that we have been reconciled. So that's a lot. That's a lot that we're going to talk about. I would recommend you, maybe when you go home, get a highlighter and just like highlight them, because these are blessings of those who are believers, those who are Christians, those who have been saved, who have been justified by faith. So let's just read the passage. I'm going to read all the way to verse 11. It reads like this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have what? Access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint. This was read in the Lord's Supper this morning too. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. 7 points. There's a lot to be thankful for. As believers, there's a lot of blessing. Like I said, it's not just saving us, and it's not just guaranteeing us a place in heaven. While we're here right now, Lawrence, we have been blessed. The first blessing of the believer is he has peace with God. Right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who doesn't want peace in their life? Put your hand up if you don't want peace in your life. No one put their hand up. Surprise, surprise. Everybody wants peace in their life, right? If you were to ask me, what's the opposite of peace, Josh? I would just say war. I mean, maybe there's a better opposite to it. But war means conflict. War means turmoil. War means unrest, stress, disagreement. Not pleasant, I would say. Not pleasant. If you read the news, you'll read that there is unrest, there is war in places like Israel and Palestine, right? There is war in places like Russia and the Ukraine, China, Taiwan. If you're into the news and you do the business that I do in weird countries, you know that there is a lot of unrest in Haiti right now. There's a civil war really going on. There's a civil war really going on. But you really don't have to look to the opposite side of the world to see that there is unrest. Sadly, there is unrest between husbands and wives. Sadly, there is unrest between fathers and daughters or sisters and brothers. Wherever there are two opposing parties and there's a breakdown in that relationship, harmony no longer is present, animosity rules, unrest. Now, I'm not sure if you knew this. As I studied it, it was kind of eye-opening. Maybe you did. But prior to salvation, listen to this. Prior to salvation, every human being is an enemy to God because of the sin in his life. Sinners are at war with God, and God is at war with sinner. He loves the sinner, but he hates the saint. But he hates the sin, right? Because of the undealt sin in their lives. Listen to, don't turn there. I'll just read this. This is found in Psalm 7, verse 11. It reads like this. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Ephesians 2 reads like this. All men are children of wrath, sons of wrath, headed to an eternal judgment. But our verse talks about peace. Once we have been justified, remember, we're talking about the blessings of those who have been justified. Once we have been justified, once our sin has been dealt with, we can enjoy peace with God. We can enjoy peace with God. And that peace comes through what? As the verse says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes when there is conflict and there is not peace and there is unrest between two parties, a mediator needs to be called in between to kind of help solve the situation. Lots of times they charge a lot of money and they're called lawyers. When there's problems amongst nations, they call in the UN to kind of mediate and sort out whatever the issue is, right? The Bible says like this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It is through Jesus that we can enjoy peace. What a blessing. What a blessing. Another blessing that we see in the verses that we read, and this is in verse 2, it says like this, through whom Jesus Christ, talking about Jesus Christ, we also have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. So we enjoy peace, but we can also enjoy access into the presence of God. That's special, I'm telling you right now. That's special. That's not for everybody who's walking around. A lot of the early Jewish believers, they understood through their religion that access to God was not something that everyone was allowed. As a matter of fact, they understood very well that to get into the presence of God, it was actually only permitted once a year. And that was the day of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. It is the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. When the high priest was allowed into the Holy of Holies in the temple, they're taking the blood to be sprinkled upon the mercy seat. The Jew was kept out by this massive veil, heavy veil, and pretty interesting to study. It was super thick. It was super thick. He wasn't allowed in. Only once a year the high priest could do it. So the Jew is thinking, well, hold on a second. We're allowed access. We have access. For them, this is kind of new. For them, this was kind of new. The Jew was kept out by the veil, but the Gentile, he was kept out by a wall in the temple. You're not even allowed in the closer section where we as Jews are allowed. No, he's kept out by a wall, and there was this warning that was placed on the wall that said that if he went beyond this point, he would be killed. Access into the presence of God was not something readily available for people before the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ was there hanging upon the cross and dying, the Bible tells us like this: the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Access was now made available. Have you ever seen those movies? Usually they're about Middle Ages, and some poor peasant farmer has to be brought before a king. Ever seen all that? Maybe there's lots of movies like that out there. So some poor peasant farmer has to be brought before the king because he's done something wrong and he's going to be judged. Usually, they would be dragged in, you know, and their eyes are down, and they have to kneel down on the floor, and they sit there looking down. They don't speak unless they've been spoken to. To go before a king was a special thing. To go before God, it's an even more special thing. Right? Look at the verse again. We have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. We don't even have to kneel there. We get to stand because of the grace that has been given to us. We get to draw near to the ever-ending riches of the grace of God. In our sinful state, we were like that peasant farmer who was brought before the king guilty, not even able to look up. Full of shame, begging on our knees for the mercy of the king. But being justified by faith, we have access and we stand by grace. Ephesians 1:7, it reads like this: in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God is gracious. Praise him for that. Grace is an undeserved favor. It's not something that we can earn. We talked about that previously in Romans, but it's not something that we earned. But being justified by faith, we notice that by the peace that we enjoy with God, it takes care of the past. The access that we have to God right now, it kind of takes care of the presence. We can go before the throne of God, right? The third blessing that we'll see here is the blessing of the glorious hope. Let me read it here. It's still in verse 2. Through whom we also have access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So the third blessing that we see is a glorious hope. So if peace takes care of our past, access takes care of our present, a glorious hope takes care of our future. We are secure. We are secure in him there. Now, when I consider my future, I turned 47 this week, I think it is. Wow. My dad can verify. I am turning 47 this week. But you hear a lot of old people say this, and I'm starting to say it. Time flies. Time flies, right? And you start to think about the future. Now, I'm not worried about the future or what comes after even death, because I have this glorious hope. I have this assurance that is given to me who has been justified. And you do too, right? And you do too. Now, My daughter soon will graduate high school. Caitlin's graduating. You know, they're still young. life's right. Life's ahead of you. But as I think of myself, it's like, yeah, I watch my son and how active he is, and my knees hurt just looking at him. What kind of hope do I have for this body? Not much. Not much. Right? But I can rejoice in the glorious hope that I have in eternity. And that is what Paul was saying to thee. You're blessed. You have a glorious hope. You can rejoice. And if you have an NIV, an NIV translation of the Bible, the word is translated as boast. As boast. And that's a Greek word that means confidently boast. It means referring to joy in the highest level. A confident joy, not a superficial joy, not an emotional joy. There's a confident joy that you have a glorious hope to look forward to. Paul says, don't be afraid of the future. What is reserved for you in the future is a glorious hope. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 17. This is high priestly prayer. He says like this, and the glory which you gave me, Jesus is praying to the Father, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be just as we are. Verse 24, it says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, and that they may, behold the glory which you have given me. We get to have a confident joy, a confident boasting in what is a blessing to us who are believers in the Lord Jesus. So we have access, we have peace with God. We have access into his presence. And in future, we can boast confidently in this glorious hope that is ours. Can I get an amen? Let's look at the fourth blessing, and that is Christian character. And that we can see in verses 3 and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. This is a tough one. Listen to this one, Levi. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Character is the mental or moral qualities that are distinctive to each person, right? Every person is different. Every person is different. If used in a sentence, we could say about character, running away was not in keeping with his character. This person doesn't seem to give up, right? He's not a giver-upper. That's not even a word, but you understand what I'm saying. He doesn't even give up. That's part of his character. And it's interesting that we can see that our character is something that can be molded. And that's what he's saying. Our character in Christ is something that can be molded. And that comes from a lot of individual experiences that people go through. Paul is trying to tell these people here, you're going to go through tribulations. You're going to go through different difficult points, times in your life. You're going to be sent through these things, but while you're going through this, it's God molding your character. It's God working on you as an individual. Oh, that doesn't sound like a blessing. Who wants to go through a difficult time? Who wants to? I don't. The word tribulation, is it the word tribulation? Yeah, the word tribulation, it comes from this Latin word called tribulum. Now listen to this. This is interesting. It comes from this Latin word called tribulum. And tribulum in Paul's day was this heavy piece of timber. And on this heavy piece of timber, they had these spikes on it, and it was used as a farming tool while they were threshing the wheat. The idea is The idea is of this tribulum, that this piece of machinery, is that it would separate the stalks from the grain with the intent of separating that which is good to which that which is not good, that which is bad. That's where the word tribulation comes from. Let me read the verse again. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. We also glory in the difficult things that God puts us through. Christian character. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. A blessing of the justified, who have been justified by faith, is that God is working on every single individual. As difficult as that is, Lawrence, we have to understand that, right? As difficult as that is, Josh, I have to understand that. But going through hard times is not easy. And here is the fifth blessing that God shows us in this passage. And that is that God's love is in us. To go through hard times, we have to have some sort of hope, right? And that hope is that God's love is within us. Before we were saved, let's read a few verses here before. I didn't put it in my notes, but we'll start at verse 6. No, verse 5, because we ended at verse 4, right? Perseverance produces character, and character hope. Now verse 5 reads like this: Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone might dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's a blessing to know that God's love is within us. We can hope, we can stay strong in that hope, because God's love, as it says in the verse, has been poured out into our hearts. Before we were saved, God provided his love to us by sending his son to die, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have an eternal life. So where does this strength come from? It comes from, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. God understood our helpless estate while unbelievers. He knew that our efforts to reestablish any sort of relationship with him were useless, right? He knew that he had to do something about it. And as it says there, he demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Now, I think the point of these verses is this. If God loves us while we were still sinners in our sinful state so much that he sent his son to die for us, he is going to love his children even more, even while they go through tribulations. So he has put the Spirit of God in each, the love of God in each heart, to be able to go through the difficult situation. In practice, it's hard. But it's a promise that we have. It's a promise that we have. And love is a powerful thing. Love is a powerful thing. If we know that we are loved, sometimes that gives us strength to carry on. One of the writers that I was studying, he wrote a little story, and I'm just going to read it to you, about a person that he was visiting in the hospital, to show how strong this concept of love is. He wrote like this: For many months, I visited a young man in the hospital who had almost been burned to death. I do not know how many operations or skin grafts he had in those months, or how many specialists visited him. But the thing that sustained him during these difficult months was not the explanation of the doctors, but the promise that they gave to him that he would recover. And that was hope. And the thing that sustained his hope was the love of his family and his friends that stood by him. We have a hope, but we also have the love of God in each of us, and that helps us, and that gives us the strength to carry on, even through tribulations, even through difficult times. The love of God was channeled through him. And then he goes on to say he eventually did recover. But God has demonstrated his love towards us by giving us his Son. But he poured it out into our hearts, which feeds the hope that we have, that hope of eternal glory. Another blessing to know that you are loved. In a world that is searching for love, God says, it's right here. I love you. I give you the strength to carry on. The sixth blessing is salvation from future wrath. Now, we could go through the book of Thessalonians, and we will know that the believer is not going to experience a lot of the difficulties that the world is going to experience. Verse 9 and 10, it reads like this: much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The cost of our justification is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was spilled. There was a cost, right? He paid a price. He gave his life so that the believer wouldn't have to experience the wrath of God, which is going to come. Now, if God goes through all of this effort to purchase a soul, do you think he's going to let it go? No. There's security in that, isn't there? There's security in that. Jesus lives today in the heavenlies, and the proof is that God has been satisfied with that sacrifice. And the fact that Jesus Christ conquered death and us by believing in him, the redeemed soul, mine, yours if you are a believer, is salvation from a future wrath of God, which is coming because of the undealt sin that there is. We had a really nice funeral here at the chapel for our sister Louise King. And my uncle Joe's dad passed away three weeks ago, I think it was. And there was a very nice funeral. But both, towards the end of their life, went through difficulties, didn't they? It hurts. You get older. Your body is not doing what it should be doing. You know, it starts to shut down. But these two beautiful souls, they can rest assured in the fact that they have no more worry to worry about. They have no more tribulation to worry about. They are saved as well from the wrath to come. Why? Because they were justified. Because, you know, they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is that not a blessing? 100% that's a blessing. And here's the last blessing that we'll look at, and that is reconciliation with God. Reconciliation with God. It's mentioned three times in the last couple of verses. I'll just read through it. Verses 10 and 11. Of chapter 5. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now, I've grown up going to church my whole life, and I've heard this word a lot, reconciliation. I don't know if you were to go talk to someone on the street if you said that. Maybe they do. I don't know. I'm just, maybe they do know what it means. But reconcile is to restore relationship, really, right? Because of the sin in the world, God could have easily declared war on man. He could have easily given up. But instead, he sent his son to be a mediator, to be a peacemaker, that men might be reconciled, that men might be brought back into a relationship, that a friendly relationship could be restored again. The blessing of the justified is that he or she rejoices in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. We enjoy the restored relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing of those who are justified. Now, that's a lot of information that I gave you. A lot. Go home and read it. Go home and highlight the blessings of those who are justified, because we enjoy peace with God. We enjoy access into the presence of God. We enjoy a glorious hope, a future to look forward to. We enjoy and understand that God is molding our Christian character, even through the tribulations that we go through. We enjoy knowing that God's love is within us. We enjoy knowing that we are going to be saved from a future wrath, or in the case of my uncle and Louise, they're already saved from that. They're enjoying the presence of God. We enjoy the fact, right here, right now, knowing that we have a restored relationship with the Almighty God. Now, that's a lot of blessing. That's a lot of blessing. That's a lot of blessing. We have been, our salvation has taken care of the past, the present, and the future. Christ has died for us, Christ lives for us, and Christ is coming for us. All blessings of those who have been justified. Hallelujah. What a Savior, right? They're guarantees. They're guarantees. They're guarantees that we have. They're assurances that we have. They're assurances that we have. Turn to 255. Could I ask you to play 255 for us? We'll close with this hymn. But what assurances are those who are his, who have been justified? All right, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. I think we can only say, we can only thank God for the many, many blessings that we enjoy and justified. So let's sing.
Yeah. we just sang those words, "This is my story, this is my song." Father, we thank you for those of us who here have been redeemed, who have been reconciled, get to sing these songs and be confident in them. Father, we still live in a world that is lost. We still have friends and even family members who these truths are not a reality to them, Father. We ask that you impress it on our hearts that we may be the tool which is used to bring people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want all, Father, as Paul wanted all those to be saved, Father. We want to be the tools used by you to bring souls to you, Father. So we pray as we go out this day that you fill us with the joy of the blessings that we have in you. But Father, that you also make us aware of those who still need a lost, who are still lost and need a Savior. Be with us, we ask, Father. Bless us as we go. In